What is true spirituality? What is true spirituality? I mean, what does it mean to be a spiritual person, or to walk with God, or to follow him? That's a really important question, because in our culture at the moment, everyone's talking about spirituality. But it's a kind of pick and mix spirituality. We'll have a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and a little bit of the next thing. With no real sense of what's central in spirituality. What's the centerpiece of true spirituality? So I want us to talk about that, and we're going to do that by looking at the first chapter of Jonah this morning. Now, of course, we could look at lots of different places to talk about that question in the Bible, but I want to choose the first chapter of Jonah, and here's why. This book, the book of Jonah, is written to turn God's people, which at the time would have been ancient Israel, to turn God's people back to true spirituality. That's why the book is written, to call them to repent, to turn them back to God, to bring about the central things in spirituality. After all, this book is one of the prophets. It's one of what we call the minor prophets, or maybe another name for that would be the shorter prophets. These books are written for lots of reasons. They foretell the future. They warn of judgment. They talk of blessings to come in the future and God's faithfulness. But essentially, they want to call God's people back to true spirituality, to repenting, to following God wholeheartedly. So in a sense, these prophets are all about this question: what is true spirituality? And so we're going to look at Jonah this morning, this story we read this morning, to ask that question. So, what does Jonah have to tell us? What is true spirituality? Number one, true spirituality is about what direction you are facing in the present. True spirituality is about what direction you are facing in the present. Let me unpack this a bit. It's not about, true spirituality is not about who we are or what we've done in the past. That's clear from this passage. Verse 1 tells us that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. And he's not an unknown character. We know about Jonah from another part in the Bible. If we look in 2 Kings 14, then we hear about Jonah again. Jonah was a national hero. Jonah had been there at one of the great moments in Israel's history. Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, had been oppressed, and they were suffering, and they were crying out to God. And God had sent a king who would throw off the oppressors, who would restore the boundaries of the northern kingdom of Israel. And all that came about through the word of Jonah. Let me read 2 Kings 14, verse 25. He, this is the king, was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath Hepher. All this had happened, this great salvation, this great victory, this throwing off oppression for God's people through the word of the Lord coming through Jonah. He was a national hero. He was a spiritual guy. You'd think he was the guy to learn spirituality from. Surely he knows something about it. But here, in the story we read today, we find him fleeing from the Lord, going in the wrong direction, running away from God. Spirituality, it seems, according to this story, and when I say the word story, I don't mean that it's a made-up story. I think this is a historical story. But according to this story, spirituality is not about who you are, a national hero, a great prophet. And it's not about what you've done in the past, however much spirituality you had then, however much God used you then. Spirituality is about the direction you're facing in the present, whether you're fleeing from God or whether you're turning towards him. You can have led a great spiritual moment in the past. You can have led a national revival, and you can still be fleeing from the Lord. If we put it in today's terms, you could have been Christian Union president in the past, or you could have led 50 people to the Lord. You could have preached at conferences, and you can still be fleeing from the Lord in the presence, in the present. It's about the direction we're facing in the present. Now, that might seem like a hard thing to say, but it's also good news for us. It's also good news for us because most of us don't have such glamorous pasts. Most of us haven't got great spiritual moments in our past, perhaps. Most of us aren't like Jonah. But in this story, not only do we have Jonah, but we also have these sailors. And they are nobodies in this story. Not national heroes. No, we don't even know their names. They don't have high spiritual moments in the past. It seems like they worship other gods to start with. They don't even know the name of the Lord. And yet, in this story, it's the sailors who end up worshipping the Lord. It's the sailors who move towards true spirituality. The passage is telling us, whatever our past, whether it's glorious or unglorious, spirituality is about the present. So if we're people who've got things to be ashamed of in the past, things that lie in our consciences, things that stain our character, this passage tells us, it's good news to us, that whatever we've done in the past, whoever we've been, spirituality is about the direction we're facing in the present. Or let me put this a different way. Let me say it a different way. Faith is a present day thing. It's a present day thing. As evangelicals, we often talk a lot about the past. When were you converted? How did you come to know the Lord? When did you first hear the gospel? And these are good questions. These are good things to rejoice in and to talk about. But in the end, we've got to remember that first, God is interested in our faith in the present. God's not today, firstly, asking you about the prayer you prayed at a Billy Graham event years ago. Although it's good that you prayed that prayer. God's not firstly asking today about the mess up you made of your life in your late teens, although there may be things you have to still deal with related to that. God's not firstly asking today about how you failed to follow his missionary call when you were 21 years old, although you may still have to think about what that means now. He's not firstly interested in what your childhood was like, although there may be things that it's helpful to look back at your childhood. But God's firstly asking today, all of us, what is our faith like now? Are we believing today? Are we trusting today? Are we following what God is saying to us today? Faith is a present day thing. True spirituality is not about who you are, not about what you've done in the past. It's about what direction you're facing in the present. So that's number one. So we're asking this question, what is true spirituality? And we're looking at Jonah chapter 1, to ask that question. Here's number two. What is true spirituality? It's about the direction you're facing in regards to the word of the Lord. It's about the direction you're facing in regards to the word of the Lord. If I read verse 1 to 3 again, these verses set the tone for the whole book. The whole of the first chapter, in some ways the whole of the book, is about Jonah and his response to these verses, to the word of the Lord coming to him. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. True spirituality is about what your direction you're facing in regards to the word of the Lord. The essence of what Jonah does wrong here, the essence of what he does wrong, is that he hears the word of the Lord but runs in the other direction. He doesn't respond to it. He ignores it. Here, right at the front of the book, we're given, if you like, the essence of spirituality. The first thing in spirituality that is responding to the word of the Lord coming to us. It's facing the direction of the word of the Lord. I mean, just think, if we pause for a minute and set aside Jonah and think about some other passages in the Bible, we see this theme running all the way through. This sense that spirituality is about responding to the word of the Lord. Think about the Garden of Eden. God places Adam and Eve in this beautiful garden and says to them, here's my command. You can eat from any tree, freely eat from any tree of the garden, but don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For them, following God, being spiritual, if you like, was obeying that command, enjoying all the trees of the garden and leaving one alone. And the reason they went wrong was because they doubted that word. Remember, the serpent says, did God really say that? Did God really say that you would die if you eat from the tree? So the word of the Lord came to them, and spirituality was to live out that word and respond to it And it was when they turned away from that word that they lost their spirituality. They fell into sin. Or think, that's the Garden of Eden, think of Abraham. Genesis 12, that the floods happened, Tower of Babel's happened, everything's going from bad to worse in the world. And God is about to start his great salvation plan that will climax in Jesus. But starts with Abraham. And God says, the word of the Lord comes to Abraham and God says, go. Go from your people and your land. Go to a place I'm showing you. And Abraham, we're told, Abraham went. If we were to ask Abraham, what is spirituality? Abraham would say, well, God came to me and said something and I responded to it. I didn't turn my back on it or flee from it like Jonah. I responded to it. Or we could think of lots more examples, of course, in the Bible of this idea. But if we just look at the book of Jonah, later in Jonah, we've got the Nineveh example. Jonah comes to Nineveh and says, in 40 days, this city is going to be overthrown by God and be judged by God. And Nineveh hears that word and responds to it, turns in the direction of the word of the Lord and responds to the word of the Lord. And God relents and doesn't destroy the city. True spirituality all through the Bible is about this. About facing the direction of the word of the Lord. About it coming to us and us responding to it. Now, you may have an objection here. A good objection. To say, well, but surely the word of the Lord doesn't come to us like it came to Jonah. Surely Jonah was unique and Jonah was special. He was an Old Testament prophet after all. Surely the word doesn't come to us like that. And of course, in a sense, you would be right. We're not Old Testament prophets here. None of us are. Some of you may have different views on prophecy today, but all of us can agree, whatever we believe about that, that there's no Old Testament prophets in this room. The word of the Lord, in a sense, doesn't come to us like it came to Jonah. So that objection is a good one. But in another sense, it's not a true objection. We can say no to that objection. The word of the Lord doesn't come to any of us like it came to Jonah. But the word of the Lord still comes to us today. The word of the Lord still comes to all of us today. So let me pause for a minute from the text and say, how is it that the word of the Lord comes to us today? If this is the essence of spirituality, to respond to the word of the Lord, how is it that it comes to us today? And now I'm not going to talk about peripheral things like I've just mentioned. You know, some of you maybe think people still prophesy today and these kind of questions that we would disagree on. I want to talk about the central things, how we can all agree, things we can all agree, ways in which the word of the Lord comes to us. We believe that the word of the Lord comes to us in preaching. That we don't listen to sermons just to know more about the Bible. That we don't listen to sermons because the preacher's good or the preacher's entertaining. But that when we listen to sermons, that is the word of the Lord coming to us that Sunday. Now that doesn't mean that it's always correct, that the preacher's always right. The preacher isn't God. We don't mean that. But we do mean when the preacher gets it right, when the preacher says what God is saying through the Bible, then the word of the Lord is coming to us at that moment. Whether it's a good preacher or a fairly poor preacher, whether the preacher reads a manuscript or whether they speak without notes, one way or another, the word of the Lord, if they're saying what's right, the word of the Lord is coming to us as we listen. So that's why we gather on Sunday. No, it's not the only reason why we gather on Sunday. Sermons aren't the only thing we do. Of course, we worship and we pray and we take communion. We mustn't make sermons the whole of what we do on Sunday. But one major thing we do is to gather not just to hear something about the past or something about this book, but to hear God speaking to us through his word. The word of the Lord coming to us in preaching. So that's preaching. It's one of the central ways we believe the word of the Lord comes to us today. And then another way would be baptism. We believe that the word of the Lord comes to us in baptism. When we're baptized, God in a sense is coming to us. He is speaking to us. It's the word of the Lord. He's saying to us, I've put you to death with Jesus when we go down into the water. He's saying to us as we come out of the water, I've made you alive with Jesus. I've given you new life. He's saying to us, just as this water, in a sense, is washing your body, so I have already washed your soul from sin. Now, I'm not saying anything funny here. I don't believe that baptism regenerates us or anything like that. I believe baptism is a sign and a seal of salvation. All the usual things. We're saved by faith, but not by baptism. But still, we can say God speaks to us through baptism. God comes to us, in a sense, through that event. The word of the Lord comes to us in baptism. So preaching, central. Baptism is central in terms of the word of the Lord coming to us. And then thirdly, the Lord's Supper. When we take the Lord's Supper this morning, in a sense, God is coming to us and speaking to us. Jesus is saying to us, this is my body given for you. Not that the bread and the wine are anything special or a change or anything, but that these remembrance items, these things we used to remember, are God's way of saying to us, Jesus' way of saying to us, my body was given for you. My blood was shed for you. You're welcome to fellowship at my table. God is speaking to us when we take the Lord's Supper. As Christians, we can kind of, it's all about our ears sometimes because we hear preaching and it can be a lot of talk. And so God, in a sense, out of his grace and his mercy, gives us something to see with our eyes so that we're not just always hearing, but we can see bread being ripped and wine being poured out to remind us that God has done this for us with our, and we can see it with our eyes, even when we forget it with our ears. So the word of the Lord comes to us as we take the Lord's Supper. It's like a visible word, a word we can see. God is saying, Jesus is saying, this is my body given for you. And then one more thing to mention is a central way in which the word of the Lord comes to us today. And that is Bible reading, our own personal Bible reading, or times in our house group, or times with other people. We don't do these things to know more about the Bible, although that's a good thing to know more about the Bible. We do these things because we believe that the word of the Lord is coming to us, speaking to us as we read the Bible. We come to the Bible with an expectation. God is speaking to me through this. Now, just to be clear, I don't mean that only when I feel a kind of tingle, you know, only when I feel, oh, I felt like that was really for me this morning. Only then is God speaking. I don't mean that. God is speaking whether we feel like it or not. This Bible passage is speaking to me whether I feel like it or not. Always, whenever we open the Bible, the word of the Lord is coming to us. God is speaking to us. So like Jonah, even though none of us are Old Testament prophets, like Jonah, the word of the Lord is speaking to us and coming to us day after day, week after week. And spirituality, the essence of it, is about the direction we are facing in regards to that word, responding to that word, following that word. That's number two. Then number three, what is true spirituality? True spirituality is about the direction you're facing in the storms of life. True spirituality is about the direction you're facing in the storms of life. All of us are going through, at the moment probably, or in the future, through difficulties and troubles, struggles in our lives, struggles with our marriages, struggles to know how to raise our kids, struggles with our health. And true spirituality is about what we do in the middle of those storms, just like the sailors and Jonah went through a storm, a physical storm in this case, in this passage. But I think this is so important that I'm actually going to bracket this off, if you like, and do this next week. So next week, we're going to talk about spirituality in the storm. We're going to look at the middle section of this passage. So bracket that off. Next week, we're going to talk about spirituality in the storm. I just wanted to flag it up here. So that's point three, a short point already done. So then point four. True spirituality, we're asking what is true spirituality, is not the basis for salvation. True spirituality is not the basis for salvation. As well as saying what spirituality is about, we've also got to say what it's not about, what it isn't as well. If we look in verse 17, we can see Jonah's salvation from the sea. Jonah's thrown overboard. He's drowning in the sea. It's certain death for Jonah. But verse 17 says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We might think, well, Jonah fled from the Lord. Jonah turned his back on God. This should be the end of Jonah. This should be the judgment on Jonah. But God provides this fish for him. God saves him from the water. Now, some of you are saying, surely the fish thing is a fairly bad thing. I mean, if you end up in the middle of a fish, you're not thinking, hey, I've been saved. You're thinking, oh, man, it probably stinks in here. So surely it's a bad thing. But in the passage, it's actually seen as a kind of good thing, as a salvation for Jonah from certain death. We can imagine he's just been thrown overboard into a raging sea. He's drowning. He can't breathe. Everything is ending. And then suddenly, he might be in the belly of a fish, but suddenly he's breathing again. Suddenly, at least he could breathe. At least he was still alive. In a sense, the fish is salvation for Jonah, even though it doesn't seem like a very good thing. So when we see this verse 17, the key thing is to see that God has provided salvation for Jonah. The word provided is a key word there. Some of your Bibles will say appointed, same idea. The Lord appointed this fish to save Jonah. Because there's an important distinction here between the beginning of the chapter and then this end of the chapter. At the beginning of the chapter, what we hear is that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. But at the end, it's not that language. It's this language of provision, that the Lord provided a fish to swallow Jonah. And the distinction between the word of the Lord coming to Jonah, the spirituality, and him responding to that, and salvation, this provision, that distinction's crucial. It's crucial. And if we get it wrong, our whole Christian faith goes awry. The important thing is that the basis for Jonah's salvation wasn't his spirituality. It wasn't the direction he was facing. It was not the word of the Lord coming to him with new instructions. It was God providing, God appointing salvation. I mean, just think, it could have been different. Jonah could have been kind of in the water, going down, breathing his last. And God could have said, come with the word of the Lord again, and said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. But that wouldn't have helped Jonah at all. It's not that the word of the Lord wouldn't be powerful. It's that Jonah had no way of responding. He would have died. The only solution wasn't another word of the Lord. Wasn't more spirituality. It was provision. It was salvation. If God had done the same thing as he'd done at the beginning, command Jonah, bring the word of the Lord to Jonah, he would have died. He needed provision. His only hope was that God would appoint a salvation for him. So let me say it again. This distinction is important. It's crucial, this distinction. It will make us very miserable as believers if we don't get this distinction right. If we think that somehow our spirituality it makes our salvation happen. If we think that somehow we have to be very, very spiritual in order for God to save us. It will rob us of our joy. It will make us miserable. Salvation is never based on our spirituality. God does come to us, the word of the Lord comes to us, he calls us to respond, to face that direction. That's important, but that's not the basis of our salvation. We're saved because God provides. He provided a huge fish for Jonah to save him from the water, and he provides for us, the Savior, Jesus Christ, to save us from sin and death and hell and the evil one. God provides his son for us. That's what salvation is about. The basis for Jonah's salvation from the water was not his spirituality, but God's provision. And the basis for our salvation is not our spirituality, but God's provision. In a sense, we as human beings are all a bit like Jonah. In a sense, our story is that we're drowning in sin. We can't escape from sin. We're in danger of dying in sin. We're trapped. And no matter how spiritual we are, we can't get out. Well, all of us have turned away from the word of the Lord. None of us has responded fully. All of us have fled from God. But God has provided. Not a fish this time, but the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we've got to respond to Jesus. This isn't an automatic thing. God doesn't kind of save us against our wishes. There's a place for response, definitely. But the basis of our salvation, the reason we have hope, is not that we've responded. The reason we have hope is that God has provided, and we've responded to that provision. God has provided for us. We could even say this another way. If we look at the passage, there's another way of talking about this. Spirituality, I've said, is about the direction we're facing. I think that's in this passage. In the present, not in the past. In regards to the word of the Lord. But salvation isn't about the direction we're facing. Salvation is about the direction God is facing. Salvation is about the direction God is facing. Then he in his love faces towards us, looks on us, doesn't leave us to perish, and provides for us. It's hinted at in this passage right at the beginning when it says the word Jonah, the name Jonah. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, when it says a name, usually the name has some significance. It means something. It plays into the story somehow. And the word Jonah, it means, in Hebrew, means dove, like the bird, dove. The word dove in the Old Testament, in the days of the Hebrews, was a kind of term of affection. You would say, my dove, and you kind of meant my dear or my beloved, my love, my dove. So for all his running away from God, Jonah, his name hints at, Jonah was God's dove, God's beloved. He might be facing away from God, but God was facing towards him in love. God would provide for him. God would save him. And this is our story too. That our spirituality, the direction we're facing, is never the basis for our salvation. The basis is God's provision and God's love. That he in his love faces towards us. That he loves us and wants to make us his beloved children. That's the basis of our salvation. So, maybe you're here today and you need to respond to the word of the Lord coming to us through this passage, through this story. Maybe you're stuck in the past. You were once greatly spiritual. You did great things for God, but that's a long time ago. Or maybe you're stuck in the past in other ways. There's things that you're deeply ashamed of and you can't get over. The word of the Lord is coming to you today saying that true spirituality is about the direction you're facing in the present. God is interested in your faith now. Or maybe you're here today and God's laying his finger on something in your life. Something he wants you to respond in. Something he wants you to follow. Maybe he wants you to re-engage with your marriage. Or he wants you to go to the mission field overseas. Maybe he wants you to rest a bit more. Stop some of your busyness. The word of the Lord is coming to you and coming to me today saying spirituality is about responding to that word. It's about facing the direction of the word of the Lord coming into us today, following through with what he's saying. Or maybe you're here today and your spirituality feels weak and poor. You've lost a sense of God's presence. You don't feel close to God and you haven't for a long time. Maybe you're struggling in your faith, or maybe you've never had faith. You have questions. Church is hard for you to deal with. Listen, the word of the Lord is coming to you as well today, saying spirituality is not the basis of your salvation. Salvation is not about your church attendance. It's not about your Bible reading. It's not about how you feel. It's not about your past. It's about God, about his provision, about his love. God provided a great fish to save Jonah. And we believe that God has provided a great savior for us. This is where our salvation lies. We can stop striving for salvation, trying to be spiritual enough. We can rest in him and trust in him, his love and his provision. Our salvation lies in God's provision. In the end, that's the message of chapter 1 of Jonah and the whole book of Jonah, we'll see. Our salvation lies in God's provision. That's the message of Jonah. That's the word of the Lord to us this morning. Let's pray.